In today's solo episode, I'm going to answer a question on anti-racism or allyship from our Inclusion First community. Now, these episodes are really made to get you the information that you need so that you can go and make greater change in the world. These are real questions from real people. And my goal here is to break down the question, give some answers and some insights that you can hopefully put to use as you are out there navigating your life, navigating opportunities for anti-racism, for allyship, and to really bring more inclusion into the spaces that you exist in. So here we go. Want to be an ally, but I don't know where to start. Other than standing up when I see something glaringly wrong, how do I start the conversation with my BIPOC friends and colleagues? And so BIPOC, that's B-I-P-O-C, that's Black Indigenous People of Color. So how do I start the conversation with my BIPOC friends and colleagues? And I think that this is really interesting. This is a great question. This is kind of like the premise of, you know, why we're all here. Where do you start when you want to be an ally other than standing up when you see something glaringly wrong? And so that's the thing about our like very limited definition of what racism looks like. Like we're looking around for it, but it's something that's so like insidious, but also like ubiquitous. Like it's the systems that we exist in are racist. And so it's not about like someone being like a racist to someone next. So race, being a racist, that's like the individual, right? Racism is like the systems that we exist in. And so there are so many. I'm just going to give a couple of super high level examples. And so, so systems that have racism, every single one. So legal, law, we know about the, like, you know, the prison, the pipeline, to prisons, pipelines that take Black people from like the streets to prison. Like we know like all about the, you know, abuse of police officers. We know about, in healthcare, there are so many, disparities in healthcare for African Americans. For example, one that I learned recently, like a Black mother is like 8 times more likely to die in childbirth than a white mother. Like, why is that? Like physiologically, we're not different, right? There's some genetic things, there's some presentation things, but this is really all about care and about the systems that we exist in and how they're just not equitable. Also access to like quality healthcare, to understanding like, you know, having the top resources or having the access to the top, you know, top science, top minds, top doctors. One thing that I had learned recently as I was doing some research, you know, the idea that your property taxes fund the schools in your area. So if you're in a poor area, you're not getting a lot of funding to your schools. Whereas if you're in a rich area, you're getting a lot more funding to your schools. And typically, when we look at, you know, median incomes and things of that nature, marginalized people and minorities are going to be making less. So automatically you're starting off from literally the moment you step into school, you have less access, you have less resources, you have less quality, lesser quality teachers that are, you know, because of the pay or where they're sourcing them from or what have you. There's just all of these different things. And so thinking about, okay, like, where do I start other than standing up when I see something glaringly wrong, like looking around you and actually understanding where is racism happening around me, but at like the systemic level, right? And how do you figure that out? And where do you, one of the other places to start is really by like figuring out where you can start to educate yourself. But there's so many different opportunities. And because of that, that's why I talked a little bit about figuring out where you fit into this. Where are you interested? What field are you in? If you're in healthcare, I think it'd be the best place to start for you is to start looking at disparities in healthcare. If you're in law, look in law. If you're in tech, look in tech. Like just look where you are. And also think about your own social circles and what that looks like. One of the examples that I've given in the past is, you know, when you hear racist things happening around you, not even, I mean, it doesn't have to be overt, just like questionable things about other people based on things that we shouldn't be judging them on, speak up and say something. You know, it's no longer okay to be like, oh, that's so gay. Like you can't say that around people anymore. Why? Because people start to stand up and say, that's not okay to say around me. And so starting to go into your social circles and just not being that bystander, because as we talked about, there's no like bystanding in this idea of anti-racism. Anti-racism is an active thing, and so we want to make sure that we're like not only looking into our social circles, but looking into the systems that we are a part of, so that we can start to understand where racism is and doing that investigation. Right. The second part of this question was around, how do I start a conversation with my BIPOC friends and colleagues? And I think that these conversations that are happening are super important, but how you have them is also very important, because there's like, I talked about the weight of these conversations, and people, you know, it can be traumatic to be approached and have someone ask you about your experience, because at the end of the day, whether it's a microaggression or like police brutality, these are like traumas of different sizes. And so asking people to share their trauma with you on demand is insensitive. And I think that that's not the intent, right? You want to understand. And so I think the first thing that you can do is go and do research on your own, so that when you search on your own, so that when you show up to have these conversations with your minority friends and colleagues, that you're not coming empty-handed, that you've already started to consider some things, you're learning some terms, you're getting some resources, you're following some different people. And that will help to make the conversation more rich, because typically, and I won't say typically, a lot of Black people, in my experience, and you know, working in corporate America, working with different organizations, oftentimes people will come to you and ask you to fix their problem when it comes to race. And you're like, hey, can you help me figure this out? Okay, great. Well, what have you done to help us figure this out together? We want to partner with white America. We don't want to do this on our own. In fact, we can't. That's why we are where we are, because it's not possible for just brown people to rid the world of racism. Racism is something that is inside of individuals, right? And so in order for you not to be racist, for you to be an anti-racist, you have to do that racist. You have to do that work. And one of the best analogies that I heard about this was thinking about this journey into anti-racism as like you're doing personal training, and like you know that it's going to get hard. In fact, that it's going to burn and that it's going to hurt. But that burn and that hurt, those are actually good things. Because why? Because that means that you're getting stronger. Your muscles are getting stronger. You're building skills, you're building capacity. And I love thinking about the anti-racist movement in the same way. We know that there are going to be times when it hurts, but we know on the other side of that hurt is strength and understanding and learning. I also like this metaphor, because this idea of you have a personal trainer. People like me, other brown people, other diversity and inclusion people, we've like raised our hand to say, yes, we want to help facilitate this conversation. We're basically like the coaches. And sometimes your coach yells at you, screams at you, kicks you, like maybe not literally, but cheers you on, gives you encouragement. Like it's the whole range, right? Because we're trying to encourage you, along this path. But at the end of the day, if you don't do the work, if you don't do those push-ups, those burpees, if you don't run that hill, nothing at all is going to change. And so think of the people in your life who are, you know, your BIPOC friends and colleagues. Think of them if they want to, if they opt into this, that they're like your coaches. But you have to do a lot of the work, and that you should always, always do work before you show up asking questions. Because it's, you know, Black people, brown people don't want to fix white people. It's not possible, right? And we want you to do your part of this. And it's a huge part. We all have a huge part in being anti-racist and pushing for the anti-racist movement. But we all have to do that. And if we don't, we're not going to get anywhere different than where we've been. And we have such huge opportunity right now to make a change, because people are listening in a way that they were never listening before. Thank you for listening to the Inclusion First podcast. We are always collecting and answering your most important questions on anti-racism. So if there's something on your mind, head on over to theinclusionfirstproject.org and click on Ask a Question. We would love to get your like, your share, your follow, and especially your review wherever you find us. Thank you again so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.